Anna Elena Tonelli was born in Forli, Italy, on April 2, 1943. Anna Elena was the second of five children, and to please her family, Anna Elena studied law. She then went on and studied medicine at night, so as to satisfy her burning desire to live on a mission. She wrote, "Since I was a child, I chose to be for others, the poor, the suffering, the abandoned, the unloved. And so, I was, and I trust to continue to be so, until the end of my life. I wanted to follow only Jesus Christ. Nothing else interested me so strongly, Him, and the poor in Him." Even at a young age, she was not afraid to leave her hometown. And at 19 years, she goes on a scholarship to America, where she begins to suspect her vocation to serve the lowliest of this earth. She dreams of going to India, but her family does not want her to do so. Finally, she changes direction and her gaze is turned towards Africa. She believed that she would not be able to give herself entirely to the suffering if she remained in her own country. And Elena wrote, "I soon understood that you can serve and love in any location. But I was already in Africa and I felt that it was God who had taken me there, and there I remained with joy and thankfulness." In 1969, Anna Elena set off for Africa in the footsteps of a hero, Saint Charles de Foucault. In 1970, at the age of 27, she chose Wajir, a desolate village in the Kenyan desert in the northeast, where, among the strictly Muslim nomadic tribes, Anna Elena taught children and cured the sick, combating tuberculosis, AIDS, illiteracy, blindness, and female mutilation.
In 1970, I moved out to the desert.
I was looking for the most abandoned people, you know, had a sort of ideal in my mind. I wanted to give my life to the most abandoned. So when I was out in the desert, the most abandoned were the TB patients. So
I started, you know, to go deep into the knowledge of the disease and the study. And I started, you know, small trials, attempts at helping them.
This TB Magnata is a policy which I created in 1976. And it was for the nomads of northeastern province of Kenya, the Somalis, camel herders, you know, but truly nomads. Magnata means a village of local traditional huts. We started to ask the nomads to settle in a compound and to stay with us for the whole period of treatment. With little money input, you cure and you give back life, you know, to people. It's fantastic.
We believe that this period of treatment, 6 months, up to 8 months, sometimes 9 months, is a beautiful opportunity for the patients to grow into better human beings. Many of the patients, when they come, most of them are illiterate. So there is a school for adult literacy, Somali, arithmetic, Arabic, Quranic teaching, and another one of English. The key of success in TB is to cure the patient, so that the disease is not spread anymore. And you cure the patient when you can really help the patient in all possible ways. The patients, they develop, you know, psychological reactions, medical complications, they develop, you know, social problems. If you succeed in taking care of their problems for the period of treatment, the patients will comply. And compliance is the key. But this is very difficult to obtain because of the stigma. When I go to the villages and I talk to the patients, I couldn't even mention the word tuberculosis. I had to say, maybe, do you have chest pain? Do you sweat at night? You know. And when I say, is there any history of cough in your family? They say, shakoku malihin, this is not your business. It's not part of our family. It doesn't exist. Shakoku malihin.
As a young, white, unmarried Christian woman, she fought against many prejudices. In the meantime, she studies medicine and receives a diploma in a fight against TB in Kenya. She continued with this work until 1985, practically without being noticed or known. It was then that the Kenyan army began to kill some members of a local tribe that was connected with the Somalian guerrilla in Ethiopia. Hundreds of people were massacred. With a small group of helpers, Anna Elena picked up the wounded survivors and took them to recovery centers. She saved many lives and wrote up a list of the dead, which she gave to the wife of an American diplomat to be published and thus known throughout the world. They would have exterminated 50,000 people, but only 8,000 were killed. Annalena's actions were able to prevent the massacre, but she was also expelled from Kenya. She then returned to Italy and went to a course in Liverpool on the treatment of tropical illnesses.
There is nothing which matters for me. No personal interest, no career, no nothing, absolutely nothing. Only to serve God and the poor. I don't need anything, I don't have a salary. I live with what my friends send for the patients. It's a very, very simple life. It would be wrong to say poor, because, of course, I have a family behind. I have my brothers, my sisters. They are my wealth. And it's all given to the others. And I want to continue like this up to the last day of my life. Everybody, you know, what I see, people, they come to me. They open themselves much more than to anybody else, even if we don't belong to the same race, even if we don't speak the same language. But I'm with them. They find understanding and sympathy and a lot of care. They can rely on me.
But Africa continues to call her, and after a year, she travels this time to Somalia to continue her interrupted work. She sets up her base at Mogadishu, where she feeds those exiled by the war. It seems that nothing was going to stop her in the mission of serving the poor. One day, she was robbed and kidnapped, her car stolen. But still, she always found a way. She then traveled by donkey to bring food to the sick. She collects the corpses from the streets for burial, cares for the sick, and hides the refugees. In Italy, family and friends ask her to leave the country, arguing that the situation had already become too dangerous. All the humanitarian organizations left the country, but it was she who chose to remain there alone. In 1995, she finally leaves Merka because the dangers are too great after the conflicts between rival clans. In fact, the doctor that substitutes Annalena is murdered a few months after his arrival. Annalena moves to Borama, where she builds a hospital which she keeps up and running thanks to the help that she receives from Italy, especially from her hometown. Annalena is the living proof of the transformations and changes that one person, full of great will and love, even though lacking certain means, is able to do for the good and improvement of others. She found the time to be with each person. Her days were full. She slept only 4 hours. She worked without breaks. She ate rice and beans. She rarely returned to Italy to see her family. She only had 2 tunics and a pair of sandals that someone had given her. When he saw her walk barefoot, she would pass by to visit the sick, stopping at each bed, speaking to them one by one. She always had a special caress for children. The hospital also had schools to teach children and adults to read and write, a course of sanitarian instruction, a school for deaf and blind children, and for children with other disabilities. She fought greatly against the practice of female genital mutilation, and because of this, received numerous threats and persecutions. She received several assaults and was beaten, but she was never afraid. Speaking about her lifestyle, which would have been a real sacrifice and almost impossible to live for many, she would say,
"Of course, you succeed. If you talk of success, you have to, because you give yourself totally with your limits. I have a lot of limits as a human being, but you give. Totally, and you don't keep anything for yourself. And so, I would love to be able to encourage other people to follow this way. But life in our societies tends to take away people from this type of choice. And it seems a very difficult choice of life. But on the other hand, if you live it, it is not. It appears from outside, but it isn't. And it is extremely fulfilling, and really it gives you happiness in life. Very often I feel it's so much what I have that I feel, you know, but I'm ready to die. You know, it's impossible that there should be more than this fulfillment."
For many years, Annalena was prepared to die. And a prayer was heard on the 15th of October, 2003. On leaving the hospital, she was executed with a gunshot wound to the back of the head. Annalena Tonelli was 60 years old 34 of which were spent in Africa, was buried in Wajir, as was a wish. And even today, the desert nomads tell a story. And Alena Tonelli, pray for us.